John chapter 4 and verses 43 onwards, from verse 43. After the 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Now this story follows Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman, which takes up the bulk of the chapter. A Samaritan woman who is receptive to Jesus as the Messiah and spreads words to the townsfolk, who in turn come out to hear Jesus and believe in him. And they say to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." So on the one hand then, we have the despised Samaritans responding to Jesus and affirming that he truly is the Savior, or if you like, the Messiah, followed by an account of Galilean people, Jewish people, who first of all welcome Jesus. And at first glance, that seems to contradict that sort of hinge verse in verse 44, which states, "Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country." Here he was back in his own country, and the people seem to be welcoming him. But we soon realize, as we read, that this welcome doesn't arrive from any real appreciation of Jesus as the Messiah, but rather because they had seen and heard about the things that he'd done in Jerusalem. They'd been down to Jerusalem, they'd heard and probably seen the things, the miracles that he'd done, and so they welcomed him into Galilee. Now, unlike then the Samaritan outsiders, the covenant people of God, the Jewish people of God, were only after Jesus for the spectacle. And so we come to the royal official, probably from the court of Herod Antipas of Galilee, and comes seeking help in Cana, where Jesus had perhaps somewhat reluctantly turned the water into wine. We cannot help noticing the contrast then between this request for his son to be healed and another request of the Gentile centurion for the healing of his servant. You remember that other story? The royal official begs Jesus to go with him to his son, whereas the centurion, the Gentile, believed that Jesus had the authority, and he says, "All you need to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed." And that's exactly what Jesus does. So Jesus' rebuke comes: "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." It's met with a simple request from the official: "Sir, come down before my child dies." Now Jesus could have refused at this point, couldn't he? In fact, we almost expect that he will, given the comments that are made. However, Jesus must have seen something of a glimmer of faith in the man. After all, he had come to Jesus. He was expecting that Jesus would be able to do something. Perhaps, indeed, it was simply an act of compassion. Here was a needy person. Here was somebody whose son was about to die, and Jesus wanted to do something about it. We do know, of course, reading John's Gospel, we know that John included this story to show that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Now, whatever the prime motivation is, whatever the reason, Jesus responds, and he responds favorably. Go, and your son will live. And to his credit, we read that this official took Jesus at his word and went home. And then, on discovering that his son had recovered at the exact time that Jesus had spoken the words, we learn that the official and his whole household believed. Let me emphasize just two things then from this passage. The first is that Jesus indeed does seek faith in us as we come to him. He wants, above all, just as John does in writing, he wants above all that we acknowledge him as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the Lord, as God's anointed, in other words, carrying all the authority of God over disease and death and illness and everything else that's wrong with the world. The second thing is that despite all of our imperfections when it comes to faith, the compassionate Saviour will bring the healing power of the kingdom of God into the lives of those who ask and knock and seek. We come this evening to do that, to knock, to ask, to seek the Saviour, the God who can do all things, and the one in whose name all things are changed for his glory and for his name's sake.